Good morning, Desert Hope. Awesome to see you today. A special welcome to those of you tuning in for the message online. We're in week two of a new message series entitled A New Beginning. God is up to something new in our church, and we want to celebrate it. We want to pause and reflect on what this new thing God is doing. And so today we are in week two of a new message series. And last week, if you were with us, we asked a very challenging question. And that is, what needs to end in order for something new to begin? And I want to encourage you, if you love to read or you would love to have a good read for this message series, a book that's called Necessary Endings by Dr. Henry Cloud is a great read. It's a great challenging read, I think, for our church, but for anyone who is facing a challenging end. Because how many know that if you want to walk into something new, you first have to walk in the challenge of ending something old? In fact, to move as a church into the future that God has for us, there will be some things that have to come to an end so that we can embrace the new thing that the prophet Isaiah says in chapter 43 in our church. And the prophet Isaiah said, do you perceive this new thing? Can you hear it? Can you hear the voice of God? Can you feel and take in the presence of the Holy Spirit that's stirring in our minds, stirring in our hearts as God wants to do something new in us? So last week, we had the challenge, what needs to end? Because sometimes good things have to come to an end so that God things can begin. Good things have to come to an end so that what God wants to do, a God thing, can begin. So last week was the challenge, and we started this series by asking the question, what may need to end? And today I want to start by asking another question, but how do we move forward in faith? And that's the key word, faith, because faith is not the substance of what you can see and understand, right? Faith is what you take in by the presence of God, deepening your faith, creating faith. Only the Holy Spirit can create faith in us to believe. And that's a key phrase, faith and belief. But here's the big idea today as we begin to think about moving forward as a church. Here's the big idea. Here's where we're going. Moving forward in faith is knowing the presence of God is with us and believing the work of God is unfolding all around us. There are two things I want you to know today. The first is I want you to know that the presence of God is with us. Amen? God is with us. He has led us together in this season of life. He's with us. He is for us. And He's going to do an amazing work among us. And the second thing I want you to do is I want you to believe, everyone say that word, believe that the work of God is unfolding all around us. God's work is unfolding in ways in which we do not yet understand, but in time, in season, as God brings new life in us and through us, we will start to see this new thing that God is doing. So we're going to take a look first at the presence of God, where the miracles and the message go together. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in John chapter 6. There are some Bibles on the chairs. How many brought your Bible this morning? Amen. We live and breathe God's Word, so I invite you to do that. Also, our QR codes have the Bible readings on them for you if you have a smart device. So John chapter 6 today, we're going to pick it up in verse 25. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, Rabbi, when did you get here? Key question. Jesus answered, verse 26, very truly I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, Jesus said, but for food that endures to eternal life. In other words, what he's saying is, hey, you know what? Don't spend your time and your affection on temporal realities. Spend your time and affection on eternal ones. He goes on to say, for on him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval. So today I want to unpack two questions with you. Two questions. The first we see here in verse 25, the people said, when did you get here? So Jesus is with his disciples. Now, if you have read before our message today, before John 6, 25 to 35 is another miracle. Jesus unfolds yet again his miracle working power and he walks on water. Last week, we saw the blessing in the miracle-working grace of Jesus by multiplying the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. If you remember that, if you were not here for that message, you can get it online. But that was last week. And now the disciples, they get in a boat without Jesus. They go to now Capernaum. They're in Capernaum, and Jesus shows up walking on water. Now, can you imagine? Jesus comes walking on the water, and they are terrified. And Jesus said, no, you don't need to be afraid. It is I. In other words, when God is with you, even though the storms of life may come, even though you may feel alone, God is with you. And he may say to you today, it is I, Jesus. I am with you. I haven't left you, nor will I ever forsake you. So Jesus is with his disciples, but he got to them, here it is, in unconventional ways. Now get this. The people come and they ask Jesus, when did you get here? Or maybe better asked, how did you get here? I mean, we see that your disciples got here on a boat, but Jesus, how did you get here? And here's another miracle unfolding, and yet they miss it. See, I don't want you to miss it too. Catch this. Jesus is exposing the reality of what is in their hearts and the real reason why they were searching for him. He says in verse 26, check this out. You are looking for me. Circle this in your Bible if you're taking notes from the back of your hope notes. Not because you saw the signs. You're searching for me, not because you saw the signs or the miracles I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. In other words, Jesus is saying this, you are coming after me, not because you want to receive the miracle and the message, but rather because you want to go through this buffet line one more time. And they've had their fill. God blessed it. He multiplied it. And they had 12 basketfuls left over, remember? They said, man, that was good stuff. We want some more. Where's this Jesus guy at now? He's over in Capernaum. All right, let's go after him now. They're not there because they saw the miracle and attached the message to it. Rather, they saw the miracle and they wanted what God can do rather than who God is. You see, here's the truth. We do the same thing. We make a God of our own making when we receive his miracles but decline his message. You see, the miracle and the message, they go hand in hand. You can't have one without the other. You see, behind every miracle that God does is a message of who God is. Every powerful working of God's Spirit is a deeper revelation or a manifestation of who God is in your life. God just doesn't do miraculous things in your life without a deeper message that he's trying to communicate to you. That I am the Lord, your God, and there is no other. You see, the miracle of the loaves and the fish has a deeper message that God is Jehovah Jireh, the God who is my provider. The miracle where Jesus is walking on the water carries the deeper message that the limitations of man are not the limitations of God. The miracle where Jesus turned the water into wine holds the deeper message and the purpose that God's purposes are greater than all other purposes in life. When water is turned into wine, Jesus is saying, I am the God of abundant joy, and there is no lack in my kingdom. When God does the miracle of parting the Red Sea for the Israelites, there's a deeper message. And the deeper message is this, that my plans are greater than any enemy's plans against you. You see, there's a connection between the miracle in the message. The people want the miracle. They don't necessarily want the message, because Jesus goes on to say, hey, I am the bread of heaven. You are seeking me not because you are seeing the signs or the miracles, but rather because you want what I can do for you. I'll never forget the season right after we ended our ministry at the former church. It was the Sunday right after, and you know, I'll be honest with you, I had myself a little pity party, and I thought to myself, oh my goodness, honey, we don't have a church to serve today. I don't have a preaching assignment today. And I was deeply in a funk. Couldn't get out of it. And immediately, the Holy Spirit rebuked me and said, Brian, I don't want you to do. I want you just to be. And that was a moment of surrender for me because I had to receive the challenge that God doesn't need me. God uses people. He doesn't need us. He chooses us. But it was a surrendering moment in my life that if the Holy Spirit never gave me an opportunity to minister in God's church again, to pastor again, would I still rise to the call of God in my life to do whatever I can do, however God wants to use me to share the great news of Jesus Christ with any person, with wherever I am in life? Am I willing to surrender to God's work no matter what? It was a huge surrendering moment. Not too long after that, was I taking phone calls, and I was a prayer associate with the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, praying for people and leading people to Jesus. But it was a surrendering moment. But if God never chose to use me in this capacity again, would I be okay with that? I said, Lord, you're God. You can do in me whatever you want. You see, here's what I'm trying to tell you today. The presence of God is with us. And we have to know that. The presence of Jesus was with them, but they wanted the miracles and they didn't want the message. I wonder what miracle God is doing in your life, but you are not seeing the message. The miracle and the message go hand in hand. That's the first point. The second point, let's turn our attention now to the work of God that we see unfolding all around us. And this is verse 28. Then they asked him, what must we do to do the works God requires? Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. So they asked him, what sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? It's interesting, they're asking for another sign. I mean, hello, do you not see that Jesus just walked on water? Do you not remember that God already multiplied the loaves? I mean, hello, are you missing it? What sign then will you give that we may see it and believe? What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. So here's the second question that I want to unpack for our time remaining. Here's the second question, and it comes in verse 28. What must we do, they ask, to do the works God requires? And I love Jesus' response. They're thinking in their mind, okay, what do I need to do? Action plan here. What's next for me to work for this salvation, to work to be achieved in God's kingdom as one who is forgiven? And they don't even realize that God himself, Jesus in the flesh, is offering himself as the bread from heaven. He says this in verse 29. I love this. This is the work of God. And highlight this in your Bible. To believe in the one he has sent. To believe in the one he has sent. You see, the work of God is not in our doing. The work of God is in our being. Being a child of God, being a son or a daughter of the Most High King, being one who has been washed and redeemed and cleansed in the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what it means to simply be. You know, when I heard the Holy Spirit say to me, Brian, I don't want you to do, I just want you to be. That was a moment of surrender. What does God require of you to do the works of God? Lord, here I am. I'm just going to wait on you. I'm going to rest in the redeeming grace of Jesus Christ to set me free. I'm going to rest that God's presence is with us, that God is working and unfolding in our church, in our community, around the city of Tucson and around the world, even during COVID, in ways in which we have yet to understand. God is on the move. God is sovereign. He's up to something new. Do you perceive it? Do you see it? Or are you just kind of, you know, going through life, going from one thing to the next, one relationship to the next, one meeting to the next, and you see the miracle, but you are declining the message? What must we do? Surrender your heart to Jesus. Say, Jesus, you are king and I am not. You are the sovereign Lord. I don't need to have all the answers, but God, I trust you. I put my faith and my trust in you. See, here's what I'm trying to say today. Our being as a church is not contingent upon our doing. It's not contingent on what we do. It is not who we are that flows into what we do. And then everything in life is confusing. It starts with surrendering and saying, Jesus, that is who you are, and that is who you have made me to become. And once you know your true identity that's found in Jesus and in Jesus alone, good works will flow out of that. Our church will move in a whole new direction of life and ministry. You see, to be is to believe in the promise of the gift that is offered. And I believe Jesus is very clear today. He has a gift on a table for you. And the gift is this. Jesus says it in verse 35. He says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. There is a gift on the table today. And I want to encourage you. I want to challenge you. I want to bless you. The gift is there. Jesus himself said, I am the bread of life. Have you eaten of this bread of life? Are you drinking of the spring of life that comes in a relationship with Jesus? You may be watching online. You may be here today and you don't have a relationship with Jesus. And Jesus says to you today what he says to all of us. He gives himself, and we're going to celebrate communion here in a moment. But Jesus says to you, I am the bread of life. You don't have to go in search of meaning or purpose. No, I am the bread of life. If you come to me, Jesus said, I will give you life eternal, and you will find that there will be this eternal quenching of your thirst and your hunger in Jesus' name. Is that where you are today? I want you to know that as we begin a new journey, the presence of Jesus is with us. Do you believe that today? The presence of Jesus is with us. Never forget that. Wherever he sends you, wherever he calls you to go, however he wants to use you, just say, God, I surrender myself to you. However you want to use my lips, God, anoint my lips. However you want to use my life, Jesus, here I am. It's all about you. Know that Jesus' presence is with us and believe that the work of God is unfolding all around us. God, I pray for your people today. I thank you for this opportunity to share your word with them. I pray that you would deepen each person's faith to believe, Jesus, that you are the eternal bread from heaven, sent from God the Father into this world so that all who believe in him shall not perish but come to have everlasting and eternal life. God, I pray for that one person today who does not know you, who's not living in a relationship with you. God, may they take that invitation and say, God, I need you. I want this bread from heaven. Jesus, come into my life. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. I surrender to you. God, help us as a church that as we move forward in faith, as we begin to move forward and think about moving forward, that we would know your presence is always with us. God, you're working in ways that we yet understand, but Lord, we trust you and you are doing a new thing. We ask this, Jesus, in your holy name. Amen.